The Bengals have been very busy in free agency, and they're getting ready for the draft. That's why today on In the Trenches with Dave Lapham, brought to you by First Star Logistics, we have Mike Potts, Director of Scouting, and he'll inform us as to the decisions that were made in free agency. The Bengals signed a good bunch of players, boy. Free agents from other football teams, as well as bringing back some of their own in terms of roster depth. And now they're gearing up and prepping for the draft at the end of the month. And Mike's got a lot of good things to say about prospects at the tight end position, safety, corner, offensive line. Give you a little preview to the upcoming draft. And it's a big feeder system for players in the National Football League, for sure, as it is every year. Thanks for joining us once again in the trenches with Dave Lapham, brought to you by First Star Logistics. As always, coming to you from our studios that are as good as you can get. And we are thankful to First Star Logistics for that. And we are thankful to our guest today, none other than Mike Potts, Director of Scouting for the Cincinnati Bengals. His eighth year with the Bengals, spent 4 years with Atlanta, 12 years in the business. Man, time flies when you're having a good time. And you kind of gear more toward the college aspect of it, Mike, but you guys, everybody does a little bit of everything, right? I mean, you're fully in tune with everything that's going on from a scouting standpoint as the director, aren't you?
Yeah, we do a little bit of everything. Our guys are involved both on the pro and college side. My emphasis, like you said, is more on the draft and more on the college side, but I do have a hand in the evaluations and some of the negotiations and different decisions on the pro scouting side and some of the salary cap stuff as well. So it's great to have your hand in a lot of different areas and you know, an impact on forming the best roster that we can.
Boy, Orlando Brown, I have to admit, when the Bengals signed Orlando Brown, I was like, this is unbelievable. I mean, when did it heat up? When did you guys know you had a shot at getting somebody like that in the fold?
I think once we got a day or two there into free agency, once that negotiating window opened up, we realized that that was a strong possibility. You know, I think as you know, our plan A was to bring back some of those veterans that we unfortunately ended up losing that were big pieces for us. Right. But Steve Radicevic on the pro side, he heads up that process and does a great job of having plan A, B, C, D, and just ways that we can pivot and go in a different direction if our first choices end up getting priced out or just end up choosing a different team for another direction. But yeah, a day or two into that process, we realized Orlando was a real possibility for us. It's nice having a winning team and a good team that's competing for championships here at least the past couple of years, and we want to keep that going forward. So that makes it an attractive place to come play for some of these high level free agents that can really impact your team. So we were really fortunate to get Orlando, and I'm glad that worked out. I'm excited to have him out there playing for us and helping protect our quarterback.
Boy, made the Pro Bowl 4 years in a row, the only offensive tackle in the National Football League can make that claim to play in the last four Pro Bowls. And he played two at right tackle, two at left tackle. He's got that versatility, but he is going to play left tackle for the Cincinnati Bengals. How about his former teammate, Cody Ford, that played at Oklahoma? Big, powerful guy himself, has played left guard, right guard, and right tackle. Is he going to be in the mix at that right tackle derby? Will he be kind of a guy that can play multiple spots for you, obviously, with that position versatility? What do you have in mind there?
I think so, yeah. He's a guy that we really liked a lot coming out in the draft, and then he's bounced around to a couple teams now, and he's, like you mentioned, he's played guard, he's played tackle. We kind of saw him there fitting in there at that right tackle spot coming out in the draft, and you know, we think he does have versatility to play multiple spots, but I think you know you'd have to talk to Zach to get 100% answer, but I think the plan right now is to start him out at tackle, and he can also obviously take some reps at guard for you as well. And I mean, we're excited to have him in here and compete, and you know, he's a high pedigree guy, obviously being a early second round pick when he came out. Like I said, we had good grades on him coming out in the draft, you know, through those meetings, throughout that process, and then also have evaluated his pro tape as well at both of those positions. So we're really excited to get a guy who's still young, big, strong, powerful, athletic guy who we think has a lot of upside and can help us. And yeah, he'll come in and compete, and we'll see how that ends up to, you know, in terms of getting the best five offensive linemen out there.
And you lose at the safety position, like you mentioned earlier here in our conversation. You lose Jesse Bates, you lose Von Bell, but you sign Nick Scott. Tell us about Nick Scott, what he brings to the table.
Yeah, Nick, another young, fast, explosive guy. You know, that's something that, you know, we wanted to upgrade the speed and the physicality and all that stuff. I think you're always looking for that on the defensive side of the ball. So he's a guy that's kind of earned his own way, being a late round pick, a non-combine guy coming out of Penn State, and earned his way on special teams early on, and then really impressed us, you know, with the starting the latter half of the year, playing in the Super Bowl when we played against them there, and then starting the full year last year for the first time. So he's another guy that we think has a ton of upside. You know, obviously you don't love to lose both of your starting safeties there in free agency, guys that made a great impact for us over the past several years, both in the locker room and on the field, obviously. But, you know, we went out and got Nick, and we think he's a viable starting safety in this league who still, you know, has a lot of good football ahead of him. He's a little young in his starting years in the league. Like I said, just earning his way on special teams early on. So I'm excited to have him. We're excited from, you know, a personnel staff standpoint, coaching staff standpoint, and looking forward to seeing him get out there whenever we can get on the field, whenever he can get out there coming off an injury, whether that's in OTAs or in training camp. So again, another guy that we were glad to add when we did.
Sidney Johnson at corner, first round pick coming out, but he's had injury problems, but this guy can cover people. I mean, he's a player, isn't he? When healthy.
He is. Yeah. He was, again, speaking from the through the lens of the college perspective, that's obviously our first exposure to a lot of these guys. And he's a guy we loved coming out in the draft. We thought he was a really talented guy that was going to go really high. Unfortunately, he had the Achilles injury, I believe it was, coming out. So fell maybe a little bit lower in the draft than where he originally was slotted to go. And, you know, he's a big, long, fast guy with great cover skills that, you know, to get on that one-year deal, and he can come in and play well for us. You know, you can't have enough good cover players with some of these offenses that we're going to match up with, especially in the AFC. You know, if we want to get through this AFC gauntlet, there's a lot of explosive offenses to match up with, and you can't have enough of those guys, especially a guy that's still young like him with a lot of talent, and he can come in and on this 1 year and prove it. And, you know, maybe there's something that we can work out with him being here long term, and you know, we'll just have to see how that plays out. But, you know, we're really, really excited to see what he can bring to the table for us.
Coach Casey has really developed tight ends and gotten them nice deals. I mean, CJ Uzomah gets the big deal with the Jets. Hayden Hurst gets the deal with the Carolina Panthers. And now he's got another one, Irv Smith Jr. Coming over. What do you think about Irv Smith Jr.? Give us the high points of what he offers.
Yeah, Irv's a really fast, athletic, explosive pass catching tight end. He's not the biggest guy in the world, but he is a physical blocker. You know, out on the move, especially out in space, he can do some really good things in terms of using his physicality and his athleticism as a blocker as well. Could be a mismatch in the pass game. Another guy that we liked coming out of Alabama when he was coming out, he ended up being a second round pick to Minnesota. So another guy with high pedigree coming out. Obviously has had a couple injuries in the league to where, you know, maybe he could have, maybe if he would have stayed healthy all 4 years in Minnesota, he'd be talking about a guy on a higher salary potentially. But for us to get him also on a 1 year deal, like you said, Coach James Casey's done a great job with these guys, and you know, CJ and Hayden have really, really benefited, I think, from his coaching. Those guys are great players as well, and they've went on to get really nice deals for themselves. And you know, like I said with Sidney, you know, hopefully something we can work out here with Irv maybe sticking around long term. But he's on a 1 year deal, and he can come in. He should be motivated, and he's playing with you know, three really, in my opinion, the best receiving core in the league. To take some attention away from him, get some single coverage, one-on-one matchups with linebackers, safeties, whatever it may be. And he's a guy that can separate, and with Joe Burrow throwing him the ball, we think he can end up having a really productive season for us. So, again, common theme, just another guy that we were really excited to add, and really looking forward to him being out there playing for us this year.
Yeah, I'm excited to see him run after catch, man. He's good with the ball in his hands. There's no doubt about it. Basham, edge rush guy, played at Ohio University, coached by a guy named Jimmy Burrow, I believe. So what about Basham? What's his strength?
That's right. Yeah, he's semi-local college guy there from Ohio U, and he's a guy that we think can rush the passer. Again, a young guy with good size. He's got explosiveness and bend around the corner as a pass rusher. Good hand use. So I don't think, like I mentioned with the corner, some of these offenses that we have to match up with, I don't think you can have enough cover players and pass rushers that can affect the quarterback and shut down some of these passing attacks. I don't think you're ever going to completely shut them down, but try to slow them down as much as you can and make some of those game-changing plays. So that's a position, on both sides of the line of scrimmage that adding depth, like we mentioned with Cody Ford and adding depth here on the defensive line now as well with Basham, I think it'll really set us up well, and I'm looking forward to seeing what he can do. So another guy we were excited to add.
You also signed some of your own, Travion Williams, for example, at running back, special teams guy as well. Mike Thomas, the captain of special teams, plays some safety. Trent Taylor, wide receiver, special teams ace as well. And then a big signing, Jermaine Pratt, inside linebacker. He's made a lot of big plays for the Cincinnati Bengals. Great communicator. Studies, man. He puts in the time. There's no question about it. That was a big signing, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, super excited to get Jermaine back. I mean, we talk about it all the time. I mean, he made arguably the biggest play in Paul Brown Stadium history, and then he was involved in the biggest play with Sam Hubbard's play in Paycor Stadium history. So he's he's made some of the biggest plays in this stadium. I'm looking out here at my office, the window over here out to the stadium. He's been involved in some big moments for us. I think that's one of the things we look for in scouting, guys that step up in the biggest moments. And he's certainly done that. But in terms of a leader, highly intelligent, fast, explosive, physical guy in the middle of our defense there, playing next to Logan, who, those two guys have been a great tandem for us the past 3 years. Logan being here 3 years, Jermaine being here 4 years now. So super excited to get him back there in the middle of our defense. So you never know, like we saw with our safeties and Hayden and some of those guys, finding opportunities elsewhere. You never know how they're going to work out. But definitely very excited that we were able to get Jermaine Pratt back on our team.
You did a great job of you signed offensive linemen, you signed safeties, cornerbacks, tight ends, edge rush guys. I mean, you basically went to a lot of positions in position groups with respect to signings and free agency. Now here comes the draft. And every year people are going to say, this is a great draft. This is an average draft. There's always good players in every single draft. It's a matter of, do those players fit position needs for the Cincinnati Bengals? And how does that stack up this year when you look at needs and what is available in the draft for the Bengals? Is it a good draft in that regard?
I think it is, and it's always a constant balance between the best player available and trying to address the needs. Obviously, you don't want to reach and take a guy that you maybe have a lower grade on significantly, or just because it's a position in need. I think we've got a really good roster right now, but there's certainly still some holes to fill, and some of those spots that we want to fill, I think there is really nice depth across multiple positions in the draft that we'll be able to acquire, even in the mid to later rounds. But you never know when the runs are going to go on certain positions. You may be sitting there and it's the top of the second round, and then you look up and it's 10 picks later in the middle of the second round and five guys went at a certain position. So you can just stack your board and kind of react on draft day to the best of your abilities. And we've kind of manipulated a little bit the last few drafts and moved around a little bit, whether that's moving back or moving up, like we did in last year's draft twice. Right. Just to play the board the way it falls, and that'll be part of our process that'll start here on Monday, April 10th, we'll start all of our draft meetings and just kind of putting the finishing touches on our final draft board, and that'll go all the way up till the first day of the draft.
Compensatory picks. You know, when you lose Bates and Bell, you think, oh boy, there's going to be some compensatory picks involved there, but there's been some give and take. You know, you signed some people that we've already talked about. You've lost some people, but it seems like, I don't know what the equation is, and I'm not sure how those compensatory picks are figured out as such, but you're still in line for some compensatory picks. Will they be as good as they would have been, or what are you anticipating in terms of compensatory picks now?
We should. It's hard to say definitively exactly, you know, exactly what those compensatory picks will be. We should be in line for at least two of those.
Right.
Probably roughly a fifth and a sixth round pick somewhere in there. It could go one way or the other, one round, either direction. We should be in line for about two right now. Obviously, Jesse Bates was a big contract, so that ends up being, you know, usually a third round pick, could have been a fourth, but then we signed Orlando Brown to a big contract. So those two kind of cancel each other out.
Right.
That's kind of putting it in the most basic terms. There's a lot that goes into that formula. But that's definitely something that we are mindful of. Again, like I mentioned with the draft, there's also a healthy balance there. You don't want to pass up on signing Orlando Brown just because maybe you could get a third round compensatory pick back a year later. So there's a balance there, but you don't want to be irresponsible. You know, there are some other guys that we signed that we think are really good players that we've talked about that will not end up canceling out some of the guys that we lost, you know, like the safeties and Hayden and Samaje Perine. You know, those are the top four guys, I believe, salary wise that we lost that qualify for compensatory picks. So, there's still some more UFA signings that'll take place that'll factor into that formula. So it's hard to say exactly what it'll be right now, but we do anticipate getting at least two of those compensatory picks, which, you know, with some of these big contracts that we have coming up, those are going to eat up. Obviously, they're going to be well worth it, but they're going to eat up a lot of the salary cap. So, you know, we're going to need to be mindful of adding as many draft picks as we can, and then maximizing those picks with hitting on them and getting quality contributors, whether it's a starter or a quality backup. And then those guys are on those rookie deals, and it just makes it more reasonable and affordable salary cap wise in terms of fitting all the pieces of the puzzle together roster wise.
Hey, Dave Lapham here to tell you about one of Cincinnati's fastest growing companies, First Star Logistics. They're currently drafting freight brokers to join their sales team. Apply at firststarlogistics.com.
First Star Logistics, opportunity knocking.
Yeah, boy, you'd like to hope and think anyway, and hope, I guess, maybe more so that like Joe Burrow's contract or any of the other contracts you're talking about would take place like right before the draft, so you know what you're looking at with the draft. I mean, that would all fall into a perfect world, I guess, there. But it's never a perfect world. But when you look at it, let's hit some of the position groups that might be addressed by the Cincinnati Bengals in the draft. The tight end position, I think, is a unique one. There's a good bit of talent there, and there comes in all shapes and sizes, as is always the case, but none bigger than Darnell Washington at close to 6'7", 270 pounds out of Georgia. He's kind of a unique talent, isn't he?
Oh, very unique. I mean, he's enormous, like you said, but can move. You know, he's a matchup nightmare. Especially down there in the red zone, but he can out in the open field, he can really run. He ran in the 4.6 range at that size. So, and just a devastating blocker. So, you know, a guy that's really talented and, you know, obviously they won a lot of games there at Georgia, winning the last two national championships. So, a very, very intriguing prospect for sure. And, like you said, there's a number of quality tight ends, in this class, but he's obviously a unique guy with his dimensions.
Yeah, his dimensions are sick, really. Michael Mayer, Northern Kentucky kid, homegrown in that regard, goes up to Notre Dame. And looking at this kid, man, his hands are unbelievable. I don't think I've seen him drop a ball. This guy catches everything, and some of them aren't real easy.
Yeah, he's a really good player. He, like you said, local kid. You know, we hopefully will get him in here for a visit. We get to guys that are from the greater Cincinnati area. You know, we can bring those guys in for for local visits. And, you know, we spent some time with him at the combine. He was super impressive. We spent time with a lot of these tight ends at the combine, but, you know, super impressive in that setting. And like you said, a really good player, you know, in the pass game, he's a mismatch. He, you know, super, super good hands, like you said, really good route runner, great size. And then, you know, a well-rounded guy. Also, like we mentioned with Darnell Washington, in terms of in the blocking game, you know, both as a run blocker or if he's asked to stay in and pass protect, which, you know, maybe not a ton when he's the focal point of your offense there at Notre Dame. But, you know, that's something that we would ask him at times to do. So that's something that we're going to evaluate and project, you know, for the Bengals if he was to be here. So, yeah, I agree with what you said, you know, a really good pass catcher and just a well-rounded player.
Could as many as 10 tight ends go in the first couple of days? Is it that kind of draft for the tight end position? I've seen mock drafts and gurus and everything that have projected as many or close to 10 guys going at the tight end position the first couple of days. You think that's realistic?
I would have to stack the board and bring it up in front of me. I mean, there's obviously a lot of factors that go into that. There's medical evaluations, there's character right. evaluations, certain scheme fits. But yeah, I wouldn't be surprised just off the top of my head if 10 guys went in the first two rounds. That wouldn't blow me away. I couldn't put an exact number on that right here, because the way we do it, we grade guys. Not every guy you give a third or fourth round grade to is the same in every draft. You know, different drafts are deeper than others, and right. you've got to stack it up. And let's say there's 100 picks in the first three rounds. Maybe a guy that you have a fourth round grade on sneaks into the back end of your top 100, and he does end up going up there. And different teams have different evaluations on guys. A tight end that maybe we have a sixth round grade on could be a fourth round grade for another team somewhere else. So
sure.
You never know. But yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. It's a very deep year, like you said, tight end wise. And, you know, 10 guys in the first couple of days definitely wouldn't surprise me, because it is a very good class.
What about Josh Wiley out of University of Cincinnati, another local kid on the collegiate level, 6'6", 250 pound, a guy. Give us an assessment of what he did in his collegiate career and what you think of him.
Yeah, he was a guy I mentioned with the local visits. We get those University of Cincinnati players in locally. We had them here. We hosted their pro day here at our bubble and in our weight room. So we got good exposure to him, obviously, being right down the road. And we just had him in for a visit a couple days ago. So he was great to meet with. Very impressive kid. He's an explosive guy who can really run and stretch the seam. Big body. He's 6'6 and change. And, you know, big catch radius, good hands, and can separate, you know, both underneath or separate vertically with his speed or running across the field on deep over routes or crossing routes of that nature. So, you know, he's again, a very impressive kid, also physical and tough as a blocker as well. You know, a lot of these guys are not just one-dimensional. A lot of them are well-rounded guys that can block and run and catch. So another really impressive guy who, you know, we obviously have had a lot of exposure being right down the road from us.
Dalton Kincaid out of Utah, Luke Musgrave out of Oregon State, Sam LaPorta out of Iowa, Tucker Kraft out of South Dakota State. I mean, the beat goes on. There's so many at the tight end position. Like you say, different strokes for different folks. Some people like one more than the other, but there's a lot of good. Why do you think is it this year seems to be a great year for tight ends? College offenses, are they developing tight ends on a more regular basis, or is this kind of an anomaly this year at the tight end position? What do you think?
I don't know. I guess I would say it is an anomaly in terms of how deep it is. It's probably one of the deeper tight end drafts that I've seen. You know, I guess it's a little bit of an outlier that way, but I mean, there's been good tight end drafts in the past 10, 15 years. Yeah. I mean, I think colleges are doing a great job of developing these guys. All these guys have different stories. Some, you mentioned a kid from South Dakota State coming from a small high school, you know, up in the Dakotas, and you mentioned Dalton Kincaid, who starts his career out at University of San Diego and is a receiver. You know, a lot of these guys just come from different backgrounds, and those the tight end bodies that move like that and are that athletic and that strong are tough to find. So you have to develop them. You got to give credit to the strength staffs in college and the nutrition staffs as well, obviously, on top of the coaching staff. So they've done a great job of developing them. And, you know, it's nice to see, because there was a point there with all the spread offenses and people putting four and five wide receivers on the field that you almost thought the good college tight ends were going to be almost heading towards being extinct. But it looks like they're making a little bit of a comeback if this draft year is any indication. So, I think it's a combination of a lot of factors. And, you know, it just goes to show you a guy can be found as a five-star recruit or as a two-star recruit. And it's just about the way the staff ends up developing them and the vision that they have for them.
So let's hit the other position defensively that would be involved, potentially linebackers and safeties covering tight ends. And you lost a couple of safeties, Bell and Bates, like we talked about. Safeties, pretty good position in this year's draft in terms of the number of safeties available, isn't it? Or what's your opinion of the safety group?
Yeah, there's some good safeties, I think, at all levels, early, you know, day one through three of the draft that you can find. And talking about college offenses and college coaching staffs, I mean, they're putting these safeties into a lot of stress in college. You know, there's a ton of open grass that they're asked to cover, and a lot of fast, wide open offenses. So it's great from an evaluation standpoint. These kids are put in stressful situations, and they're asked to, you know, cover and tackle in a lot of open grass, a lot of open space. You got the wider hashes in college and these fast paced, high octane offenses. It's a good position. Like I said, I think you can find starting caliber and good backup caliber players at all levels of the draft. And there's definitely some guys we like. And, you know, I don't think there's a position in the draft that we're not looking to potentially add good players or add good depth to our position rooms, you know, really at any spot. So safety is definitely one of them that will be heavy on draft day and throughout our meetings and continue our research and finalizing our board. Like I said,
A safety that kind of jumps out at me just because of his size, this JL Skinner out of Boise State, 6'4", 220 pound guy. Obviously, you think of him maybe as an in-box guy, maybe a tight end eraser a little bit. Has he got some versatility to his game, though, at that size?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, those guys are valuable. It's same school and similar dimensions to the guy that we had in George Iloco that we, first got here, you know, who had a nice career here for us in Cincinnati. But yeah, those guys are super valuable. Like you said, with talking about the tight end position and guys that are 6'4", you know, that can match up and long arms and disrupt at the catch point and match up with those guys. Obviously, you don't want to, you got to match up with the Travis Kelce's of the world and some of these dynamic tight ends. It's pretty hard to do if you've got a guy that's given up significant size or length. So, you know, guys like that are very valuable, you know, in different sub packages, you know, in your base defense. You know, there's a lot of different ways that you can play them, different roles that they can contribute to your defense. So we're looking for as many of those guys, you know, that we can add in terms of that versatility. And like I said, just giving us a chance to slow down some of these high level offenses that we have to match up with.
Yeah, it seems like anymore, particularly with Lou and Lou's system, one snap you're in the box, one snap you're deep, and the other guy's in the box. I mean, it's like you got to be able to handle it all. And there's quite a few safeties that seem to be able to do that a little bit. And one thing, when Lou Anarumo drafts you and brings you into his system and coaches you, you get better. And I think whoever is lucky enough to be in that situation as a safety is looking at that. And you mentioned can never have enough good corners, good cover corners. How good is the cornerback draft in depth wise this year?
Yeah, I think there's some really nice depth there at the corner positions. Like I said, with the safeties, you know, at all levels of the draft, you know, day one, day two, day three, even into college free agency, you know, there's corners that you can find that you know, maybe slipped through the draft for one reason or another, whether it was some measurable or something that happened with an injury or whatever the case may be. There's really nice depth at the corner position. And like you said, you can't have too many of those guys to cover the weapons that we have to see. And like you said, you know, our staff's done a really nice job of developing those guys. And, you know, we just I think overall I've done a nice job of being on the same page between our personnel and our coaching staff. And you mentioned what Lou puts on those guys' plates mentally. So we are, you know, part of our job is doing a great job of getting a good feel for the guys' character and their mental makeup and their football intelligence, you know, in terms of we don't want to bring a guy in that we can't put all that we want to put on their plate mentally in terms of unloading the full defensive playbook on a guy and, you know, playing him in all the different roles that we want to play him in or you know, be limited in some areas. So when guys kind of check that box of the makeup and the intelligence and then we like them as players, you know, those are the guys that end up going through our filters and you know, are guys that we kind of highlight on our draft board in terms of a guy that we want to target.
When you go to your draft board, whatever round it may be, and you have an offensive lineman, that shows up is, oh boy, that's the best value right now. How is the offensive line? I mean, it seems like the draft to me, I don't know about the strength, but the depth of the draft is maybe rounds 3, 4, and 5. Is that an accurate statement, or is that too far off base? I mean, is there somebody that could bubble up in the third round as an offensive lineman, maybe even in the second round, late second round as an offensive lineman? Like, I can't believe this guy's still here.
Yeah, I would say that's fair. I mean, you never know how it could play out. You know, we do as much analysis of it as we can, and then there's always going to be surprises. There's no question about that. There is some nice depth, like you said, especially in those middle rounds for sure. With the offensive linemen, you know, you look at Cordell Volson, who's kind of a guy that we had targeted last year there in that fourth round and ended up starting every game for us. So yep, there's definitely guys that can be had in those middle rounds, you know, whether it's a guy that we have a first or second round grade on and they fall to the third round or you know, just a round or two later than we maybe had them projected to go. That happens all the time, you know, pretty much every draft. And that a lot of the time, if they're made of the right stuff and they're the type of guy that we want to add to our locker room, a lot of times those are the guys that are you know, in the final two or three guys that we're narrowing it down to when our pick's coming up on the clock, or if a guy sticks out that much, that's the type of guy that we may even consider trading up to get. But offensive line in particular, I mean, you know, even though we added Orlando Brown and we added some guys in free agency last year, we've drafted guys the past few years. Certainly a spot that we're going to continue to evaluate and continue to try to add guys, especially, you know, if they're players that we like. You know, we can't have enough, even if we, you know, think we have our top five or top seven, you know, whatever offensive linemen, we're not going to turn down quality depth or, you know, guys that we think can add to that room. So it's going to be something that we're definitely heavily invested in looking at in this draft. And you know, we'll just see how our final board plays out and see how it plays out on draft day.
Let me get you out of here on this, Mike, and appreciate you carving all the time you carve for us here. You mentioned can never have enough good cover corners, can never have enough good edge rushers as well, and you signed Basham as a veteran free agent. What about the edge rush guys? How deep a group is it at edge rush? And if you're when you're talking positions on your big board, do positions have more value than others? I mean, do you factor in the value of the position as well as the talent of the individual player? How do you make decisions like that? Oh, I got a really good offensive tackle here. Have, you know, an edge rusher that's projected in the same stratosphere, but man, I think that edge rush might be more important than the offensive tackle. Or you just look at it as how the player goes out and performs.
Yeah, I mean, there's certainly positions that are more valuable. I think anybody that's going to affect the quarterback is going to be extremely valuable, you know, without giving away like how we would exactly rank them. But, you know, obviously if you're going to protect the quarterback, you're going to sack the quarterback, you're going to cover the guys that the quarterback is targeting, then that's going to be, obviously, I don't think it's a secret that quarterback's the most important position. You know, that's probably not that would probably be unanimous amongst most, if not everybody, but that certainly goes into it. Our depth at the position, our need at the position, and then even if we have depth at a spot, if it's a super valuable spot like that, like a pass rusher, in this instance, you know, you like I said, you can't have enough of those guys. I mean, you look at the past 2 years, you know, we've been hit, you know, unexpectedly at certain positions that you end up getting decimated. And if you have, you know, you look at last year on the O-line, obviously, we play the majority of the year, and then out of nowhere, you lose three starting O-linemen. So You know, I know your question was more geared towards the pass rusher, but you know, I don't think even if you're like, hey, we want to keep, let's say, six defensive ends, and we think we have six quality ones, we're not going to turn down a high level guy that we have graded highly, you know, just because we think we're full at that spot, because you never know how injuries could play out. And you know, it's kind of a war of attrition in that regard. So we're just going to, try to do our best to balance position and need with taking the best players and stick to our board and see how that all plays out for us. It's worked well for us the past few years. And, we just want to stick with it and, continue to tweak our process and improve it as we go.
Mike, must be great though in your position to go out there and free agency and in the draft and players want to come be part of it with Joe Burrow, you know, in the Cincinnati Bengals. It's like it is a destination now. I mean, everybody wants to be part of what the Cincinnati Bengals are doing. You guys have done a remarkable job. I mean, the last couple of years have been phenomenal. And man, when you got your quarterback, that's a good place to be, because there are teams every year, this year no exception. What the hell are we going to do at quarterback? Bengals don't have to worry about that.
Yeah, it's nice to be in an attractive spot, especially, like you mentioned, for those free agents. If there's a similar contract, similar deal that we're offering to another club, you know, I'd like to think we're more attractive right now at this point with what we've done the past few years than a lot of different spots. So, you know, that'll obviously in the draft, the players don't get to choose. We draft them, but then it helps us out in college free agency after the draft with the guys that go undrafted. You know, we could be an attractive spot for those guys as well. So it is a good spot to be in. There's been a lot of work and, you know, a lot of credit goes to our ownership group, our coaching staff and our personnel staff as well for, you know, putting in the work. And, you know, we were at rock bottom there a few years ago. And then I think we've done a really good job of building it up the right way. And we've just got to keep it going. It's definitely not to the point that we want it yet. We want to keep improving it and keep making our processes better and keep adding these high quality players that'll you know be high impact guys that'll help us win a lot of games and ultimately win that final game.
Mike, thanks so much for visiting. Great job in free agency. Good luck in the draft, my man.
Thanks, Lap. Appreciate you having me.
Have a great day.
You too.
Dave Lapham here, and every day I am grateful for my experience to have played professional football. As a player, I realize self-motivation, leadership, and appreciating your teammates are key. At First Star Logistics, you can use those same attributes to create the life you want for you and your family. Build your future by working hard, like I did. You'll see results both on and off the field. Call First Star Logistics today and be part of our winning team. Opportunity knocking.